develop their lives and their businesses in regenerative ways. So that's a human thing. People out in the woods and learning from nature directly.
Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast. My name's Cormac, and today I'd like to welcome Sarah Spencer from Think Like a Tree to the podcast. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great. Great to have you. Could you just give us your 60-second introduction, please?
Yeah. So at the moment, what I do is I help people, whether they're individuals or leaders or part of community organizations as well, develop their lives and their businesses in regenerative ways. So that's using both permaculture ideas and other regenerative frameworks. And so I do that both online and in person, which is lovely, having people out in the woods and learning from nature directly.
Yeah, that's great. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. I have read some of your stuff. I find it very interesting. You might find me visiting England sometime soon.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. Come to Derbyshire.
Yeah. So let's take it back to the start and just how you discovered permaculture and how did you get started?
Yeah, so 20 years ago, last month, we bought a small holding in South Derbyshire, and we'd been looking at how to get a place with land for some time and realised that, you know, the cost implications, we had three small children at the time, you know, were really great. So what we actually did was pooled our resources with my parents and bought an old farmhouse. So my parents live in one end and me, my husband and three children in the other end. They're now, my youngest is now 20, so they're kind of all you know, flying the nest, or flown or flying the nest. So 20 years we've been here, and I guess I first encountered permaculture through magazines like Country Smallholding that had articles, and really at that stage it was just like bits. So I was getting this really kind of eclectic mix of what permaculture is, which I think is actually, you know, quite true of a lot of people's first, you know, introduction to permaculture. And then a friend of mine a few years later said, you really ought to do a permaculture course. And so in 2011, I did my PDC in Nottingham at EcoWorks. And from that point on, I was absolutely hooked. I'd kind of been developing our small holding here using you know, principles and bits that I picked up, you know, lots of organic, and we planted, you know, thousands of trees and orchards, and this idea of being able to meet our needs as our family from the land to a certain extent was really engaging for me. So, you know, but once I realized that it was all about a design framework and these natural principles, then I think that's, you know, what absolutely got me hooked, and then went on to do my diploma and deepened and broadened a lot of that kind of initial thinking.
Right. And when you'd done the PDC, you already had the small holding. Was there anything that stood out particularly that was like, oh, big mistake, or we done really well?
Yeah, I think intuitively I'd picked up on certain things. So things like zones, you know, are really, really useful in permaculture. But actually what it is really is a way of designing for efficient use of energy. And so I think also, you know, as a busy mum of three, and I was working as a legal human rights lawyer at the time, I realized really early on that these ideas that permaculture had, that where they were energy saving and they could pass some of the energy cost, if you like, onto the plants themselves, and therefore we could save ourselves time, that was hugely sort of engaging. So I think building on that in the PDC and realizing that that was, you know, that was an actual thing, not just me being lazy. Then, you know, that, and I think that's what's great about permaculture, isn't it? A lot of it is kind of common sense, but it's also it gives justification to a lot of efficiency, a lot of resilience, a lot of things that we deeply kind of need in our lives and in our, you know, in our land, but kind of legitimizes them. So yeah, it's, I love it.
Yeah, so that's great. And that was the PDC, was it a 2-week PDC residential?
No, it was over a year. So it was, I think, 5 or 6 weekends over a year. And EcoWorks in Nottingham is really inspiring because it's actually on an allotment site. It's a huge allotment site, but it's in one of the most deprived areas of Nottingham. And they've built a straw bale building, and then at the time they were doing a market garden. So it was a really sort of inspirational way of seeing permaculture in a green setting, if you like, but also deeply rooted in a city. So I think, you know, that was a real contrast from what I'm experiencing here in rural South Derbyshire. You know, to have that city perspective to really show that permaculture can work in any location.
Yeah, so I think that's, what was I saying? Do what you can where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. And I'm, you know, obviously very fortunate that I've got all this space here. But equally, you know, I am absolutely passionate about bringing permaculture to people who don't even garden or want to garden, you know. So the direction that I've gone off in is, you know, the more the people-based and business-based permaculture. So, you know, that applies to absolutely anyone, whether or not they either have land or want to have land.
Yeah, I always get quite amused when people say permaculture is not business. I've had to block people off Instagram for the abuse.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, well, you have to produce a yield, so it's very important. That's the principle, and I think it's very important that but I'm finding now that more people are talking about it. I'm discovering more people who are talking about it, and for me, that's the way I want to go. I want to have a business in permaculture and people. That's why it's good to speak to people to get their different perspectives. So if we take it back now, you've just done your PDC 2011. You're still working as a lawyer. You've got a young family. You've got a small holding.
Around that time I was actually made redundant. So it was with the legal aid changes. Then basically the charity that I work for just went out of business overnight, and 350 of us lost our jobs. So it was a huge kind of almost bereavement, really, and a really tragic loss to the sector. So I was at a bit of a crossroads at that point and just thought, what am I going to do next? And I could have stayed in that field, but actually the balance wouldn't have been right. I would have had to have worked, you know, 6 days a week, whereas I knew that I wanted to work flexibly, both with the children, but also with the land as well. And around that time, I discovered our local transition group. In fact, I think when I joined, they'd only had one meeting. So I, you know, kind of helped co-found it, really, and discovered the transition movement and how there was this idea of a community approach to the changes that we need to make in the world. And so I think, you know, when you're a smallholder on your own doing stuff, that's great, but you can feel quite lonely and feel like you're the only person who is really, you know, cares about stuff sometimes, you know. So to find a group of other people who were also passionate about the bigger issues like the climate crisis, ecological crisis, and also kind of heard of permaculture, then that was amazing. So that was a kind of diverting my focus then into more of the ecological. And I then did quite a lot of work with schools. So I did trained as a forest school leader and, you know, brought some permaculture into the eco schools work that I did with my children's schools. So I kind of went off on a volunteer track. I mean, some paid work, but a volunteer track for a while. And then In 2013, so 10 years ago now, it's celebrating. I co-founded Whistlewood Commons, so community woodland social enterprise in South Derbyshire, which we got together about 400 members of the community to buy 10 acres of land. And then over the next few years, kind of planted thousands of trees, and we've got, you know, there's hundreds of fruit trees up there. And it was all designed using, I was the key designer on it, and designed with lots of community consultation, but with permaculture kind of deeply embedded in it, in both the land and the organization as well. So that kind of, that also was part, formed part of my diploma in applied permaculture design. So as you know, for your diploma you do 10 designs, and so three or four of mine were for Whistlewood, some were for here, and others for school food forest, and so yeah, it was really really useful to hone the skills as someone developing a business. The Whistlewood is a social enterprise, it is a business, and the business model was always that it would only be requiring grants in the initial infrastructure phase, and then to become self-funding, sort of ongoing, with some more income generating elements subsidizing the educational work and that kind of thing. So it's a really robust sort of business process that we needed to do this share offer that we did with the Cooperatives UK and other organizations investing, as well as individuals. So it was a real transition into really, running a business and understanding the problems and complexities of community business as well, because they do have their own particular challenges. And then what I realized, ultimately, was that it would be really great to be able to help businesses. So community businesses, but any businesses, all businesses have, similar kind of challenges. And I'm particularly interested in helping businesses that have a purpose, or they're looking to develop that strong sort of sense of purpose.
So the social enterprise, do you want to just explain what that is?
Whistlewood is a community benefit society, which means that it is, it has shareholders, but the shares they're not transferable like normal shares, they're withdrawable shares. And so it's an investment of between £50 and £10,000 that allows the infrastructure really to be bought and created. And then those members each have one vote for the organization as well. So it's a really democratic, so whether you've got £50 or £10,000, you rock up to the AGM and you have one vote. And then there's a board of directors, and then obviously, they run it as a business. So that was kind of, I was chair for many years, and then about 4 years ago, sort of stepped back from that, when I was then wanting to focus my energies more on having founded Think Like a Tree. And with Think Like a Tree, we're primarily helping kind of individuals, but actually there was a huge amount of crossover. So when Think Like a Tree was founded in 2017, we found that quite a number of people who were coming on our Think Like a Tree program, which is essentially, anybody who knows about a permaculture design process, it's a modified version of a permaculture design process, but for your own life. What we found was quite a number of people were coming with either, they wanted to change careers, they weren't happy in their career, or they were an entrepreneur who needed some extra support. So we that program kind of helped people with any kind of issue that they want to design in their lives. But there was a natural segue then into supporting businesses and organizations. And then a colleague, J.K. McQuinn, came on board a couple of years ago as, I think, like a tree facilitator. And then the two of us together have gone off and created Think Like a Forest, which is our program for businesses and organizations. So it's hugely exciting. And I've operated. So so far we've trained up, I think, about 17 facilitators. And it's really exciting because every time a facilitator comes on board, they bring their own energy, their own ideas, their own experience, their own, you know, kind of passions, really. And then Think Like a Tree goes off in a different direction. So we operate as a mycelial network because, you know, everything that we do is inspired by living systems. And so it just seemed to be the most resilient, but also it had the most opportunity for evolution and growth to operate like a fungal mycelial network that trees operate within, with essentially me being a kind of hub tree or mother tree, as they call it. So it's morphed from being called permaculture, if you like. I kind of felt that there were quite a number of barriers using the word permaculture, that people have a certain view of what permaculture actually is. And so, you know, when I created Think Like a Tree and Think Like a Forest, then permaculture is kind of mentioned, but it's a bit further down the blurb, if you like, rather than front of center. I mean, I thought hopefully one day that won't need to be the case, but, you know, that's how it is. But just wanting to be passionate about bringing these amazing ideas to the widest possible audience, really, that's kind of what gets me up in the morning.
Yeah, that's great. So you, at the very start then, what was anything inspired you then sort of running the, you mentioned your challenges in the social enterprise, and then using that experience to bring it over to Think Like a Tree? How did you make that transition? How did you start basically the sort of nuts and bolts here?
Yeah, well, actually, the catalyst for starting Think Like a Tree was actually my own chronic illness. So running along also aside all of that, three children, a career in as a human rights lawyer of 20 acres, 10 acre small holding, and Whistlewood, I also have a genetic illness as well, which at the time back in 2015, I was very, very ill for about a year and a half. And so my permaculture kind of journey went from doing a lot of land-based stuff and things with children around permaculture into thinking, well, physically, that's just not going to be possible. What career can I design, but still bring these, you know, bring these like amazing ideas and principles to the wider world? So I started using, I think it was about the tail end of my diploma, actually, I started using the permaculture principles and the design processes to design my health. And I decided that, you know, I was going to get out of bed and design my road back to health. And that's essentially what I did. So it took about 18 months for me to have, you know, really be able to get back to being able to operate kind of on any meaningful level. But then it became really obvious that this was the direction where there was a big gap, you know, that people were asking me what I was doing, you know, what processes I was following and that kind of thing. So it just seemed natural to share. And interestingly enough, from those early days of what I designed for myself, because permaculture frameworks are just so, they can be universally applied, and really a lot of it is just about tweaking the language, actually. So instead of language that's around land, it's language around ourselves as people. Then, you know, I designed for health, but I then designed the whole of Think Like a Tree using that process, and I've used it ever since, and so have, you know, hundreds of other people now who've been through the program for every single you know, circumstance in their life. So we have people who come, like I say, who want to design a new business, but they might also be supporting a child with autism, or they might be wanting to design better relationships or design their retirement, or just design how not to feel stressed all the time, you know. So it can be, you know, in the same way as permaculture principles can be used to design everything from, you know, a window box to a bioregion, the same is true for the Think Like a Tree principles and the Think Like a Tree design cycle, which, you know, can be used for absolutely anything. And then what we've done for businesses is we've tweaked that again to be what, instead of the 42 natural principles that are in the Think Like a Tree book, which really the language is like I say, around applying to us as individuals, then with the businesses, we have what's called 12 strands. So this is basically the success of ecosystems. So we model the success of our businesses on the success of ecosystems. And that's, you know, a different framework, really, that we've been using with businesses, and is really successful.
Yeah. So as an individual, when I turn up there, what can I expect? Sort of is a weekend course or weekend?
Yeah. So we run it either online over 6 weeks, or we've run it in person over 6 weeks, or we do a 3-day intensive. So we've got a 3-day intensive coming up in South Derbyshire. And then there's a 6-week course running in Nottinghamshire in September as well. So it's various formats, but essentially the content's the same. We always start with observation. So, you know, as a permaculturist, you know, observe your land for a year. That's the ideal. I mean, whether, you know, often that's not quite practical, but we do the same with ourselves. So we start off by observation of, like doing a bio time diary to get to know rhythms and energy, and it's surprising how many people really don't know themselves that well. So to actually take that discipline to actually, you know, look at how your energy changes over the days and the seasons and whatever, but then we do a lot of observation around living systems as well. So the whole idea is that we connect with living systems. So we go out into nature, and then we learn from the principles of nature. So obviously, you know, David Holmgren, Bill Mollison, they were out in the forest looking at what made nature successful. That's where the permaculture principles derive from. And we just want to make sure that even though we might be talking about ourselves as a well in a well-being context, for example, that we don't lose that learning from nature directly thing. Because we, you know, when you rock up to a course, it's really surprising how easy people find it, actually, when we take them out into nature and say, okay, look for examples of resilience, for example, you know, and then what can you learn from that for your own life? Look for patterns in nature. What can you learn from that for your own life? Then, you know, take patterns, for example, of start looking at spirals, and you see spirals repeated over and over again in nature. And then people can, you know, start having conversations about the negative spirals that they're in, maybe with anxiety or worrying, debt, you know, what we see those spirals turning up in our human lives, as well as our bodies and our, you know, our ecosystems as well. So it's very much, we, you know, there are lots of activities, lots of tools, you know, it's a jam-packed 3 days. Really, that's why we call it an intensive. But on the other hand, the consistent feedback that we get from people who come on the course is that they feel like this is somehow the missing piece. This is the thing that they've been searching for years and years for that those kind of secrets to their own well-being or for living in a way that feels right. But this is the framework that draws all that together. So it's a framework that can also hold all the other good things in your life as well. So if you're already doing good practices, like, I don't know, meditation or something like that, you bring that into the design cycle and make that part of that overall, the overall way of living, really. And it sounds a bit alien to design, you know, design your life. And some people might think, oh, that sounds a bit forced, but actually it's exactly the opposite. So what people find is it's really freeing. So it gives them that overall framework. And within that, they have the freedom to be creative, to fail, to, you know, to have learning experiences, to do things differently, really, from what the norms of our human created societies are telling us, because trees have got a very different message and they don't judge. So it's, you know, it's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah. I remember going on an introduction to permaculture course, maybe 5 years now. And the first thing we did was go stand in the woods on your own.
Yeah.
It was the first time I'd really been in nature by myself in years. It was just sort of like it changes you. It's just like, holy shit, this is what I'm supposed to, this is what normal is.
Yeah.
Away from the hustle and the bustle. And then the other thing was, I always think if I hear this, somebody say, I can't remember now who said it, if you don't design your own life, somebody else will design it for you.
Yeah.
And you have to take control of it, your everything.
Yeah. It's so, so true, because, you know, there's people out there in, you know, in businesses, in marketers, in advertisers, in media moguls, they're all trying to design our lives for us. And to a large extent, I have to say that they're succeeding. You know, if you look at the way that a lot of people are living deeply unhappy lives, because they are drawn into that mechanistic mindset of, you know, industrial consumer society. And when you have a different model, a different mindset, the regenerative living systems mindset, then you could, you know, it's just really easy. And I see this happen all the time, people who come on the courses, or who write to me about that they've read the book, that suddenly there's that clarity. You know, that, well, trees don't do that, so why am I doing that? Why am I kind of getting sucked into social media? Or, you know, why am I not looking after myself and going to bed when I need to, and you know, eating what, you know, what's right for me, and all, you know, all of those things that we, you know, we know that we should be doing, and but somehow we're sucked back in by those, you know, those other powers.
Yeah, anyway, I'm in the process of taking control and designing my life. It just takes time. It's like turning an oil tanker.
I was saying it does take time, but it's also a process. The great thing about this design cycle being a cycle is that you can do it once, and, you know, we get rid of all the things about, I have to get this right first time. You know, that's a very human thing, that nature's not like that. Nature's really good at trial and error. And so if we do the cycle round and it doesn't quite work out how we wanted it, we just go round it again and just do it again. So it's like I say, it's like a really creative, freeing process to actually look at things in a very different way, with no judgment and no right or wrong as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's class. That sounds like a great weekend. So then you moved on then to the forests.
Yes, that's it.
So that's, is that small businesses, large businesses? What kind of people do you come through there?
Yeah, primarily small, medium businesses and organizations. So we, you know, in this kind of regenerative future, we don't make a distinction as to what the like legal entity of the organization is, because, you know, I think everybody's going to go through various different, you know, challenges. And we have the 12 strands framework, which are living ecosystem principles effectively that we're looking at. And again, starts with observation. So, you know, look at your business, how it is before you start, because what we usually do is, instead of just looking at things without judgment as they are, we look at things and see problems and see, you know, oh, I need to change that, or I mustn't do it like that. We're judging all of the time. So to have that, take that step back and actually kind of map your ecosystem, look at the business as it is now before you move into the second strand, which is purpose. So digging in. So the strand is actually called the creating life strand. So that's essentially what nature does. In human terms, we call that purpose, really. And if we can align our purpose with creating life, then obviously that's the ideal, because that is the regenerative endeavor, to create life and create conditions conducive to life evolving and emerging. So we dig deep into the purpose of the organization, and then also the purpose of individual team members within that organization, because one thing that's really key to the success of an organization is to have alignment in the purpose between the people that are working in that organization and the overall vision of the organization itself. So often you find that organizations are doing really, really good things. When you actually dive into them, then they're very much out of alignment with what their people need. So they, you know, they might believe in the purpose, but actually they've also got a separate vision, which is to have a work-life balance, for example, to see their family, you know, to be not called up in the middle of the night because there's a problem, or, you know, so we need to think about aligning the different purposes and visions of the different people operating in the organization. And once you kind of get that alignment, then and obviously then it's something that people are moving towards, that the world needs as well, then the other strands that then start to fall into place. So the third strand is a collaborative strand, so, you know, looking at what connections both within inside the organization and then beyond that can be made to actually then strengthen. And so, yeah, so I won't name all the strands because you can head to the website and have a look at them. But, you know, essentially, you know, that we've got the strands, but then we've also got a framework which is working in six systems dimensions. So within each strand, we ask leaders to look at themselves. So this has to be an inner and an outer journey that people go on, you know. So quite often we see, so for example, with land-based businesses, that, you know, it's all focused on the land. And if we, you know, if we do this and plant this, then it'll all be successful. And then the members of the team themselves are not going on that inner journey that you really need to be regenerative as well. So it, you know, it is a kind of leap of faith. It's, yeah, there's it's not uncomfortable, to be fair, but it is something that people need to step into, really, and say, yes, I'm up for that. And then, so starting with self, then we go out to team, the organization, the any land or workplace, the wider ecosystem, and then the biosphere as well. So when we're designing with this process, we're designing in six systems dimensions, which means that nobody is left out. So, you know, the individual isn't left out, but equally, you know, the biosphere, the nature on who all our life depends, isn't left out either. So, you know, there's sometimes, again, a tendency for some of these regenerative practices to sort of hone in on the just the business side of thing and then forget the wider ecosystem and the biosphere. So I'm very keen that that always is deeply embedded in all the work that we do. So people can come on a fundamentals course, which is for individuals who want to come on, leaders, change makers, you know, permaculturists would, you know, really find that useful. All whole teams can come on what we call our Think Like a Forest adventure, which we get our whole teams out, and that can either be online or in person as well. So it is lovely to get teams out into nature. I had a team come out here quite recently, and there's something about learning from the forest directly. But of course, even on the online courses, that's what we're getting people to do, to actually, you know, do activities where they're learning from living systems directly.
Yeah, no, that's class. So let's recap on that. So as an individual, I can, I can either come online, or if I'm in the UK, I can go to you and have the,
tree program. Yeah.
Then for a business, I can be a leader or somebody working who wants to just come myself for a program. Yeah. And then the other program is a team program.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And then to become a facilitator, do you have a course as well?
Yeah, we do have a facilitator course. We have our first international facilitator as well this year. So Kim is joining us from Canada. So we have both UK and international programs running as well. So that's ideal for people who've got a kind of a wide variety of backgrounds. You, for the UK course, you don't have to have any facilitator background, but it really dovetails quite very well with a lot of different disciplines. It can be permaculture, but it could be other, you know, regenerative businesses or nature therapy, that kind of thing. And internationally, then if people have got some kind of facilitation background, then we'd love to have a chat.
So that's potentially a possible investment for somebody's career as well, that they could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, so the Think Like a Tree program facilitator course trains you up to be able to deliver off the peg the Think Like a Tree program to your own particular audience in wherever you are, and also to adapt the materials for your audience. So, you know, some people are adapting for teens, some for children, some for, pregnant women. You know, you can adapt the materials as well. And then there's obviously the opportunity for collaborations like JK and I have done on the business side of things as well. So it's really exciting because it just goes off in this lovely, and I guess that's basically what permaculture's done, isn't it? I mean, it is modeled on permaculture ideas as well, that instead of sort of keeping hold of this, I want it to go out into the world as widely as possible.
Yeah, and I think it's like you throw the seeds out and see where they sprout.
Yeah, it's just absolutely.
And if you ever, if you're going to find your niche, and people find their niche, we'll all find our spot somewhere here. It's good. I think you're sharing that.
One of the things that I think you're viewers and listeners will find useful is we've just put live a mindset quiz. So on the website, it's discover your team's impact making mindset quiz, which is essentially allows you to answer 10 questions, and it'll tell you what dominant mindset is showing up in your business or organization right now. And I think it's really useful for permaculture organizations as well, because often we think that we're doing good, but there is a difference between the do good mindset, which is one of the six mindsets, and the regenerative mindset. They're two different things. So if you feel like you're doing good in the world, but you're curious about what going beyond that is to be actually regenerative, then that's why I've created the quiz, so that people can kind of see where they are now and then think about shifting into that more regenerative mindset and then way of working that they can take action in their businesses.
That's great. If you give me the link to that, I'll include it. I'll definitely do that. Do you reckon all four team? We have four team members. We've done all our surveys. You reckon the four of us do it?
Well, yeah, it'd be really interesting. We recommend that people do it individually, but in their whole teams to see how it whether it comes out differently. Because I think it could be as interesting to find out, you know, if you perceive things differently within your team as it is just to know, you know, that answer that you think. So because, you know, it's a team mindset. Yeah. It's a group thing. So it's obviously going to be subjective depending on who's taking the quiz. And then there's lots of resources to back that up as well. So once you've taken the quiz, there'll be lots of like follow-up resources as well to actually kind of embed that, to be able to actually, you know, because I'm all about taking action. It's great doing a lot of theoretical work, and I've done a huge amount of reading and courses and, or, you know, learning and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm really passionate that, you know, whatever I share can be of practical application that people can kind of immediately put it into action to either change their lives, their businesses, or, you know, and ultimately the world.
Oh, that's great. I will definitely do it. I'll speak back to you as well, how we get on.
Yeah, please do.
That'll be very interesting. So is there anything else you want to cover that we haven't covered yet?
Oh, no, I don't think so. No. It's been really lovely. And I'm just looking out the window here, just thinking about my own land, actually, that we've actually just to finish off our 20 years, or to celebrate our 20 years, we're going more and more down the wildlife route, actually, and realising. So we've got a lot of permaculture planted here for our own, the yields for food for our family. But I think that it's also important that we give a bigger and bigger share for nature and wildlife to go a bit wild. And that can be a bit scary sometimes, especially when you're kind of designing for low energy input with, you know, things like illness and that kind of thing. But having seen the wildlife come from essentially what was 20 years ago just an overgrazed horse field with not much, it's just well worth the effort of, you know, trying to create that sort of patch of paradise in what is otherwise a farmland of desert, really. So I think we need to keep in mind about putting nature and wildlife sort of front and center of everything we do all the time.
Yep. Okay. I was going to ask you what you're doing next. You covered that. Sarah, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. And just for the audience, you can find Sarah, I'll put it in the links, and it's Think Like a Tree, Think Like a Forest. And just for viewers, thanks very much for listening, and tune in next week. It's Chatty's end.